It was a geschmack to chapatans with so many of the chaver last night. At the chasana, Rosh Hashem will have more opportunities. Many, many, many more opportunities to do in the future and to share in each other's simchas. Rosh Hashem for many, many years. So last week we began the Malach of Borer. I once again deeply apologize that my tech was not ready, and as a result we were not things did not get recorded. I'm not really saying that apology to people who are here as much as people who are listening to this recording at some point in the future. So let's just at least remember where we were at last week, and then we'll turn our focus to Ochel Mitoch Psolos. Just to remember where we were at last week, at least Rosh Prakim, we began to talk about the Malacha of Borer, and before you even getting to when Borer is Mutti, you first have to know what Borer is before you can talk about the exceptions. So we saw based largely really on Trumas HaDeshen, in Sif Gimel, you have the definition, it's not in Sif Aleph, but it is in Sif Gimel. Sif Aleph jumps straight into when is a Mutter. Sif Gimel we back up to talk about, well, what is Borer anyhow? So the Borer is essentially, we spoke about three conditions. That's two minim, which are betaroves, and you are discerning, selecting one min from the other, as opposed to a situation where it's all the same min. It sounds, you get the impression, you look back to his desh and see if this is his makar, but the Gemara discusses in a very different context the notion of basar shema, basar taima, whether you define min in other halachic contexts as two minim as being a different flavor in terms of min be min lo batel. Whether it's two minim means that two different flavors, or that it's basar taima, or basar shema, that it's called two different things. So the postgame here seem to use a similar type of thinking, that if you have the same fish and the same flavor and the same recipe, just some of the pieces are bigger, some of the pieces are smaller, so that's considered to be min echad. Even though you are specifically selecting only large ones, you're specifically selecting only the smaller ones, that's not bor because it's not shnei minim. Or you have shnei minim, but they're not betarovas. If they're neatly apart, we spoke about a situation where there's space between them, post and toga, where they're organized neatly, you have the svarim on the shelves neatly lined up with the spines out, things of that sort. It's not, you have the clothing on the hanging on the rod, perhaps also the similar type of thing. So then if it's not the tarovis, even if you do have different minim, or the third aspect, even if you have a tarovis with a different minim, it's only bor if you're trying to differentiate one from the other. So let's say post can say, the Ramah records in the Trumas HaDeshen. Most of this is in that Ramah and Sif Gimel based on the Trumas HaDeshen. Let's say I have two different minim of fish and they're mixed together, but I'm not pulling out only one type or only the other type. I'm pulling out all the small ones or all the large ones. But all the small ones, both of min A and min B. All the large ones are only min A, are both min A and min B. So then I am pulling out, but I'm not differentiating min A from min B. I'm just differentiating the small from the large. As I said before, small from large, large from small, that's not two minim. So the definition of Borer is when you have a tarovis of two or more minim and you are discerning. We're talking last week at the end of Hanukkah about the discerning. So the Borer is when there's not only an ein das havdalei minayin, not only when there's a cognitive discernment, but you actually act on it by trying to separate one min from the other min, undoing the tarovas. Then, so the Shulchan Aruch says, and if it indeed it is, based on the Gemara, if indeed it is, you are trying to discern, to pull out one min from the other, and they are, up until this point, heretofore, but tarovas, so then it's only going to be mutter when you have the three conditions, lahatir, in place. And last time we spoke primarily about two of them, and I want to talk right now about the third. Last time we spoke about the issue of Kalim and the issue of your time frame. The issue of Kalim was that the Gemara indicated more than once that if you're dealing with Kalim that's not Mutter, if you're dealing with Kalim there are, to use a Vital's sharpening of the Nusach, Kalim Yuchad and Lebrera, you have Nafo Kvara, so that's going to be, that's potentially Borer Daraisa. If it's kind of a tamcha, using a kli, it's not miyuchad lebeira, but you're using a plate, you're using a bowl that's making it, using it to more effectively do your breira, that's going to be an Issur d'Rabbanan, unless there's some other reason why it's an Issur d'Oraisa. So if it's biyad, so that's going to be mutter. And we discussed the questionable kula of the, or actually the controversial kula of the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa. It seems to be rooted in the Chazon Ish, ultimately, Rishon Zalman Chazon Ish. Chaznish perhaps, that if you have a kli, but it's meant for immediate, it's meant for breira la'altar, maybe that's mutter. You have a pitcher that has slots that keep the solid in, only allow the liquid out. So maybe that I shouldn't call that a kli, because maybe that's even better than kanavatam, because not kli and yuchel breira either. Still, I used to draw a So the chiddush that the Shmuel Shabbos is saying, but if a kli that's meant for immediate breira, for breira lechem yad, I pour the drink from the pitcher and I'm going to drink it over the course of this sitting, it's clearly li'altar. It's only used for li'altar. Maybe that's the equivalent of doing biyad. So that's the chiddush that some accept and others do not. The chiddush that the Shmuel Shabbos has that's very widely accepted, he himself documents in the footnote, it quotes a whole array of achronim who all agree that if you're using a kli only as a yada arichta, using the fork and the knife or the spoon, in place of my fingers, so my fingers don't get dirty, so I'm being a little more mechubad about it, that is the equivalent of biyat. So those are some of the issues about kalim. They spoke about the altar, the two different machluks in Rashi and Tosfos. On both we paskin lechora like Tosfos. One was that Tosis believes that Rashi holds that the altar is mutter even if you're doing it alidei kelim. And Tosis, not all achron agree that's what Rashi held. Tosis certainly themselves disagree vigorously, and that's clear in Shulchan Aruch, in line with the Torah and the Rambam and many other Rishonim, that in order for it to be mutter, you need all three conditions. The altar alone is not going to be mutter if you're doing it with kelim. The other machlokas Rashi and Tosis was who's the altar. The Rashi appears to hold, and that's the Bar Heitiv quotes Maria Bolafia, I believe it was, understood based on Rashi that the altar is only for my own immediate use. Whereas Tosis says boru meniach. Tosis understood the term boru meniach means boru ochel means I'm picking things out to eat myself, and boru meniach means I'm putting it down for you to eat. The Tosis is clear, and that's quoted in the Rosh and in the Beis Yosef, and that is clearly in Shulchan Aruch. That's the position of the Rambam in Sif Aleph, that li'altar doesn't have to be my only altar use; it could be for someone else's li'altar use. We spoke a little bit about what that would look like if you have a very large crowd, that may expand your shear of li'altar. That was a general question we discussed last time. What exactly is the shear? How li'altar is li'altar? It's clear from the Shach V'Tari Nayin Dalam and Aleph that the altar is significantly shorter time frame than Lebo Bayom. That's clear from the Shach V'Tari. And the Beis Yosef quotes some debate amongst Rishonim exactly how you define the altar. We also spoke about understanding when you're looking at the altar, not a question of how much time, but also how much time until what point. To what point are you measuring? That's what he pointed out, that a number of achronim say it doesn't necessarily have to be to when the food actually goes into someone's mouth. The food might never go into someone's mouth. If I'm putting out food because I need to mechabed guests, even though I'm pretty sure that no one's going to eat it, but lo yafeh, guests are coming, they're coming over to sit and schmooze with me. I don't think they're going to eat anything. But it's not nice. It's not derech eretz. They're not putting anything out. So I'm going to put things out. So I was in the kitchen 5 minutes before they show up, pulling out the snacks that I want to put out from this, picking out the snacks I want to put out from the snacks I don't want to put out. Big tarobas in the tarobas of snacks in the drawer, and bean bar, ochum tov psolas biyad. Is that li'altar? I need it on the table for 5 minutes from now when the guests may show up, even though I don't think they're not going to eat it right away. They may not eat it at all. It doesn't matter. I suppose I can point out, but I'm putting out to them. The hishtamshus is that being mechaber the guests by having a nice presentation. That alone. It's the altar of that hishtamshus. As the postman also discussed, if I need to, someone else needs it. Someone else needs my stuff. So I'm going to lend I'm being borer ochel mitoch psolas to give something to you because you need to use it. You're only using it later. But the only time you come over to my house to pick it up is now. So I'm doing the borer not for your use. My ishtamshus is lending it to you. So if you need to borrow it now, so I'm going to be borer and 3 minutes later hand it to you. That's considered to be le'alter, my berera is le'alter to my ishtamshus, which is handing it off to you. Okay. Well, now let's talk about, so that Adkan is the Rosh Prakim of what we discussed last time. And again, my deep apologies that I was not sufficiently prepared with the tech. I'm sorry I did not get recorded fully. Maybe it's better that way. Maybe last time he says Varm Talem and Min HaShemayim. Min HaShemayim just got the Rosh Prakim. Okay. Whatever it is, but let's now turn our attention to Tanai number 3. Which is Ochel Mitoch Psolas. This will also, over the course of the discussion, get us up to, no pun intended, but it'll get us up to the discussion of Molel and Melilos. Well, maybe we'll end with a little bit of that, and Bili Neder, the next Chabura will probably be the last Chabura. Bili Neder, next Chabura will maybe talk more about the Molel and Melilos and Dash, and maybe also about filtration, which gets us into the world, perhaps, of Merake. But let's turn our attention now, having touched on the Rosh Prakim, review the Rosh Prakim of Kalim versus Biyad and Lialter versus Lubabayom. Let's turn our attention to Shnei, to Ochel Mitoch Psolas, as opposed to Psolas Mitoch Ochel, which we made a little bit of reference to at the end of the Chabur, but let's now do it in an organized fashion. The Beis Yosef presents a vigorous machlokas harishonim. How to put together the gemaras. Beis Yosef presents as a machlokas the Rosh and the Tur versus many Sfardim, the Rif and the Rambam and Rabbeinu Hanano and the Ramban and Ramban and Beis Midrasho. How do you fit together the sugya and Beit Adaf Yudalid with the Masechta Shabbos, specifically the sugya and Klal Gadol and Daf Ayin Dalet. The sugya and Beitza you have a Mishnah, Machlokas Beshayim Beis Hillel, the Gemara discusses further. It doesn't seem in Beitza that we necessarily always want you to be a Baruch Mitoch Psolas. The Mishnah is the Gemara that talk about Beba Shetinga, which is Meruba, which is Muat. If there's a lot of Ochel Mitoch Psolas is very nice if there isn't so much Ochel. But maybe I have to figure out. Maybe if there's a lot of ochel, only a little bit of psolas, it will be less tircha, in principle, to pull out the psolas. So maybe that's what the sugya beitza says. Nafi dal. That's ochel meruba psolas muetes. Maybe better to pull out the psolas. It'll be mamayit betircha. On the other hand, maybe sometimes if the psolas is there's less volume, but it's harder to grab. You have little specks of dirt, so that's going to be hard to pull out. So then maybe that's the way the sugi there, Beshayim Beisil and the Gemara there, am I looking at, pulling out less material? Am I looking at reducing the amount of tircha, which has to do with dexterity and texture? The sugi here doesn't seem to present that at all. So it's now, and they look in the Beis Yosef, if he says, the Rosh and the Tur say, nah, that the whole sugya and beitza, daf yadalan about the ochel meruba, ochel meruba is irrelevant to Shabbos. And that's why it doesn't seem to fit in with our sugya, because the Rosh and the Tur said, that's in beitza. That's always a question. We've already come across a number of sugyas in beitza as we've been learning various malachas. And you always have to ask yourself, it's not always clear. Beitza is officially about Yom Tov. So that's always a question. Specifically, in the world of Sidur Depas, and specifically, Shabbos specifically, late in the list of Sidur Depas, you always have to ask yourself, well, maybe Yom Tov is different than Shabbos. Why? Because Yom Tov is a heter ochel nefesh, that's the psukim in Parshas Bo. The very first time the Torah tells us about Melechus Yom Tov is in the context of Pesach in particular. And the psukim there already are quite, achashay yochel ochel nefesh, hulav adoy yosei lechem, is a heter ochel nefesh, big psukim, right, Beishan, Beishil, how far you expand that, Mitoch and so on and so forth, those are Beitza sugyas. But when you have a malacha that qualifies as Ochel Nefesh, so then it's at least in principle going to be Mutter and Yom Tov. that there is a sugi at the beginning of the third parak of Maseches Beitzah, I believe, is parak Ein Sadim. Question is, how many malachas are considered to be ochal nefesh? How many malachas are considered to be ochal nefesh? So that's, would I say that I can trap animals? The opening Mishnah seems to say you cannot. Ein Sadim. Trap. Well, what's wrong with going fishing in Yom Tov? Or can I go fishing in Yom Tov? Or can I not go fishing in Yom Tov? It'd be fresher. Now, if I'm catching deer or game animal, land animals, so then if we were looking at turf rather than surf, then there probably is not as much of a freshness issue. You could catch an Erev Yom Tov and leave in the barn or leave in the pen. Even the fish, the Mishnah says, look, you could catch the fish, but they catch the fish and leave them in water until Yom Tov morning. And the question is, well, what do you mean? But isn't that Ochel Nefesh? You're not a shecht. So what's the difference between Shochet and Sad? So the sugya there, we showed them there, not our focus right now. But the Tosis there and others try to work out what's called Ochel Nefesh. And Tosis really develops the idea that maybe there's specifically Tzad and Shochet are not Sidur of the Pas. But if Sidur of the Pas, there's a certain point in the process at which we say, okay, from this point on, it's going to be Ochel Nefesh. Lash is definitely Ochel Nefesh. Ofe is definitely Ochel Nefesh. And it's really not an issue on Yom Tov. Earlier on, Borer, Tochein, Dosh, that gets a little sticky. If you have discussion, that clearly there are rules for Borer on Yom Tov. That's the Sugi Beit Yudala. That's Machlois Beit Sabisol Bashama. That's the Sugi there. Sorting out, you know, is it more Ochem, more Psolas? Is it harder, easier to pick out? Sometimes we prefer Ochem to Psolas. Sometimes we prefer Psolas to Ochel. So I'm sorry, I think I said it backwards before. So the Rosh and the Torah say, it's all the same. I think I said it backwards. The Rosh and the Torah say, that sugya is relevant here too. That sugya in Beitzah is even relevant for Shabbos, and all that complexity carries over to Shabbos. But the vast school of Svardim that the Beis Yosef amasses, the Malracha that he amasses against the Rosh and the Torah, of the Rif and the Rambam and the Remeinu Chanal and the Ramban and Beis Midrasha, which includes Ran and others, so they all say, no. That whole sugya is only Yom Tov. That's Yom Tov. Meaning, really, it should be Ochel Nefesh. Narvas, we're worried about Tircha. So on Yom Tov, we're saying, we would really, we're not really worried about Bor per se, we're worried about the Tircha Shiva. But we keep dealing with the real issue, the rice of Melecha, the real Melecha of Bor on Shabbos, the rules are all different. So that's the Machlokas, the Beis Yosef presents the Machlokas, Rosh and Tur, versus the Svardim, whether the sugya in Beitzah is relevant on Shabbos or not. You look in the Ramah, how do we paskin? You look in the Ramah, Siv Dalet, the Ramah is quite clear that we want Ochel mitoch psolas, afilu ha'ochel meruba, v'yesh yoser toch beveris ha'ochel. Even if there's a large, the quantity, the volume is greater of Ochel, so it would be easier in a certain sense, simpler to just pick out the small amount of Psolas. And not only quantity is greater, but also it's sticky, it's hard to get at. Little particles, it would be so much easier to pull out the Psolas, both because of the small amount of Psolas, and because given its texture, the less tircha, still Ramas is clearly, we demand Ochel mitoch Psolas, Ochel Psolas is mutter. So is aser. So yesh lahayir, a couple of points about this. So number one, fascinating that the Ramah is passing like the Sardim. They so presented this very clearly as Rosh and Tur say the sugya and Beitzah is relevant to Shabbos, and then everyone he quoted on the other side, I think to a man, or the Sardim. It's fascinating the Ramah passes like the Sardim. Initially intriguing. Not only that the Ramah passes like the Sfardim against the Rosh and the Tur, but that the Shulchan Aruch seems to imam. It's only the Ramah who's taking a stand like the Sfardim. That's fascinating, number one. Number two, it's worth noting, the Beis Yosef, I believe, only presents Rosh and Tur, but if you start from the Sugya, you saw, as the Beis Yosef obviously knew as well, it's already a Tosis. A Tosis, the Maschil Borer, already presents this issue. What do you do with our Sugya? seems to talk all about Ochel and Tov Psalos, and then Beitza not, and Tosis is already saying what the Rush and the Tur would later quote, that you do have to fit all the sugyas together, and then the Tosis thinks that's going to help you with the sugyas that Kuf Lamed Ches. The Tosis, this is already Shitas HaTosis. This is already Shitas HaTosis. Okay, and we don't pass. And even Ashkenazim clearly reject the position of Tosis and the Rush and the Tur in favor of the position of the Sardim. You should note also that I believe I did. It could be somewhere in the Eglei Tal. I didn't find it. I did not look deeply enough. I only looked very just a quick scan, but it could be. It's right there. It probably could be just staring me in the nose. I did not come across offhand any Achronim point this out, but I believe I would be very grateful if you find someone who says this or someone who says that the final cheshbon is incorrect. I believe that there's a machlokas Rambam Tur l'shitasam. The Dal machlokas Rambam Tur l'shitasam. We mentioned last week, I think, as we were getting started, that in thinking about the three conditions, the Rambam is very clear in Parakhes. Parakhes, where he discusses Bor Daraisa as opposed to Parakhaval, the Bor Drabanan. He discusses Bor Daraisa. He's very clear that any of the three conditions already makes it Bor Daraisa. If the Rambam is very clear that if you use Kana V'Tamchoi, if you use Nafil Kavara, Kli Miyuchad Lebreira, it's Bor Daraisa, even though it's La'alter and Ochel Tov Psalos. Or if it's not La'alter, it's a Chiyuv Daraisa, even though it's Biyad and Ochel Tov Psalos. Or the Rambam says, if it's Psalos Tov Ochel, it's an Issa Daraisa, even though it's Miyad Biyad. Even though it's La'alter and Biyad, any of the three conditions violate any of the three conditions already put is makes you chayv. Whereas the Tur, if you read the Tur slowly and carefully, begin the simon, he seems to disagree. Subtle, but I think clear. The Tur says that it's gonna be a malacha deraisa. That's how he opens up simon shin yotes. Borer is chayv if either it's not for kavara or it's liotzer, as opposed to Lialter. But if it's Biyad and it's Lialter, then it's Mutter. Okay. And then he goes on to say, and the Keter who Borer, they just has a discussion of Ochel Tov Psalos, Psalos Tov Ochel. So number one, okay, it's the Tur, that's a Shita Satur, like the Rush, like Tosis, that it's not always, we don't always prefer Ochel Tov Psalos, sometimes we prefer Ochel Tov Psalos, sometimes we prefer Psalos Tov Ochel, as we were saying a couple minutes ago. But what's also notable, if you read straight, is that he seems to be saying that they're minatar, the only two conditions. That the whole din of, he doesn't present, when he's presenting in, what's a scenario where Borer is chayiv, he didn't differentiate between Ochel Tov Psalos and Ochel. In other words, for the Tur, it looks like there are only two conditions minatar. As long as it's Lialter and Biyad, it's Mutter minatar. Ochel Tov Psalos does not seem to be a concept daraisa. For the Tur, for the Rambam, it clearly is. He says, "Beferish Ochel Tov Psalos Tov Ochel is going to be a chiyuv, even though you did a biyad and li'alter." So that what appears to be machlokas Rambam and Tur, whether the din of Ochel Tov, whether there are two conditions or three conditions in the Torah, probably shitasa. In other words, l'chora, again, that's what I was saying before. I'll be very excited if you find me achram who agree or achram who disagree. Someone to talk about this would be exciting. It must be there somewhere. It must be there between the Talbot or Hashulchan, somewhere in the Bir Halacha. I assume somewhere. I haven't found it yet, but I imagine someone talks about it. If it's true, if I'm correct, that the Tur is disagreeing on this fundamental point, and the Tur thinks that the whole notion of Ochel Tov Psalos is not the Raisa, then we understand very well how the sugya in Beitza is relevant to Hilchos Shabbos. Because again, the sugya in Beitza is handling with tircha. So often it's hard to understand. Like, tircha, be marba, be memayit, but tircha, that's an issue on level of the Raisa. That's going to drive Melech Shabbos. And maybe you could have said, yeah, maybe that's to do with what's Derech Bereira. If you're be, maybe. Maybe derech achila versus derech breya, maybe. Or, and maybe that's what Tosus thinks. But the Tur sounds like he's putting them together. The Tur sounds like once it's biyad as opposed to bikli, and they're specific, or really once it's not with a nafo kavara, and it's the altar, it's ready min haTorah. It's heter gamer. Min haTorah doesn't matter. So then, the Chazal said, Midrabban, we also want you to be my Batircha. So to my Batircha, we'll tell you, depends on the situation, whether you should prefer Ochel and talk Psalms or Psalms talk Ochel, but it's not really part of the definition of the Malacha of Bor Bechlal. Bechlal. The Rambam, who says, no, Ochel talk Psalms is in the Raisa, so it's not negotiable. What do I care about the Ribui Tircha? I mean, I care about Ribui Tircha, but I care much more about avoiding Borer. It's very nice that if it's Ochel Rubel Apsolas, I would be Mamayit Betircha if I picked out Zolas. Yeah, Mamayit Betircha, but I'd be violating Melacha D'Oraisa. That's not an option. So, of course, on Shabbos, I say Zolas is absolutely critical. On Yom Tov, the Rambam says, on Yom Tov, so that it sounds like Minat Torah, that's what these Rishonim seem to be assuming. Again, one issue seems to be what's the definition of Bor D'Oraisa? Is Ochel Tov Zolas part of the definition of Bor D'Oraisa or not? And the other issue, perhaps, also is to what extent is Borer not a concern? To what extent is Borer really mutter min haTorah on Yom Tov because of Ochel Nefesh? So these Rishonim are saying, on Shabbos, it will be a Chiyuv D'Oraisa to be Borer Pop Sol Tov Ochel. I don't care which is more, which is more. But Yom Tov, I might prefer Sol Tov Ochel. Meaning, well, what do you mean? But isn't it Borer? So apparently they're assuming, no, Itak will be Borer on Shabbos, Sol Tov Ochel. But that's not a problem Yom Tov because it's Ochel Nefesh. Narvaz on Yom Tov, now that we got rid of the Borer problem because Ochel Nefesh, so now we can think about Miyot Tircha. So this practice Machlokas in Hilchah Shabbos seems to be rooted in Lamdas, in the question of whether Ochel Tov Psolas is a concept D'Oraisa in Borer or not. And in Cheshbon seems to be rooted in where you draw the lines in terms of Ochel Nefesh. So these Sfaradi we showed him, number one thing, on one hand, the Rambam certainly says, Ochel Tov Psolas is a Din D'Oraisa, and therefore it's not negotiable. It's always going to be necessary in Hilchah Shabbos. We're never going to tell you that Zub Psolas no Ochel. Well, almost never. Well, we'll get to some exceptions soon. But merely the question of which is Merub, which is Muad, the Rambam says, B'Ferish, irrelevant. That's in line with the Rambam and the other Sfaradi we showed him. And they're obviously also assuming, which again, when the Mitzvah, you'll learn Hilchos Yom Tov, they seem to be assuming that Borer Psolas Mitoch Ochel, even though on Shabbos it's a Malacha D'Oraisa, on Yom Tov it's really not a Malacha D'Oraisa. Why? Presumably because Ochel Nefesh includes it. So Mele we Chesh Ben Tshuva. Okay. So again, this complicated sugya in Beitza, which Tosafot gets us involved in, Halacha L'Maaseh, in Pesach Shulchan Aruch, we pass on like the Rambam, this is also that when you get to Hilchos Yom Tov, it's going to be relevant, but here in Hilchos Shabbos, it's always Ochel Mitoch Psolas. Okay. So what? There is also that issue about the Mukseh. I don't really want to get into that right now, whether the Psolas Merubah. I do want to stay focused on the Ochel Mitoch Psolas issue. What does this mean, Lemaisa? What does this mean, Lamaisa? Lamaisa, we paskin, Ramah, Pat. Oh, I should. Let's just be wrapping this up, I'm sorry. Wrapping this up, just to wrap up toward the abstract discussion that we're having here about this Machlokas Russian tour, Tosa's Russian tour, really, versus the Sfaradi Rishonim. Once you come to a class, on the one hand, we have Tosas. Okay. On the other hand, we have Tosas aligned with the Russian Latour, but I would close this discussion. I point out, on the other hand, it's not only the Ramah who passes like this Fardim. Once you say it's Ramah L'Shitaso, come to Chayis Shulchan Aruch also passes like this Fardim. Shulchan Aruch never said Beferish Ochel B'Tol Psolos is necessary, even when it's Ochel Meruba and Tircha and so on and so forth. But if you say that this is fundamentally the same as whether Ochel B'Tol Psolos is Darais or not, that the Shulchan Aruch did talk about. You go back to Sif Aleph, moving from the Ramah and Sif Gimel to Shulchan Aruch and Sif Aleph, he said, the Therish. I believe he said Beferish that Ochem Mitoch Psolas, did he? Maybe not. I thought, I'm not sure. I thought the Shofar was saying earlier that Ochem Mitoch Psolas is a Din D'Oraisa. Maybe I'm wrong, if he didn't. Maybe not. Okay, I take that back. Maybe it's never near Shulchan Aruch. I thought Shulchan Aruch is a line Shulchan Aruch. It used to be here. Okay, maybe it's gone. No, I'm sorry. It's Shulchan Aruch. Not Sivdal. Right here, Sivdal. Take that. Sivdal. Habor Psov Toch Ochel. I feel like where the Ramah is in Sivdal. The Shulchan Aruch had said, Habor Psov Toch Ochel. I feel beyond Achas Chayiv. Chayiv. It says, even though you're doing a biyad, if it's psalto ochel, you're chayiv. Chayiv. Meaning psalto ochel alone is a disr daraisa. So the Ramah says, the nafkamina is that therefore, we always demand ochel toch psalos, we don't care about which is meruba, which is more of a tircha. But if you understand, as I'm suggesting, that the practical sheet is mushrash in the question of whether psalto ochel is din daraisa or not, so the Mechaber said one half of it, and the Ramah said the other half of it. But those two are aligned. Okay, so it's all in Sif Dalet. Okay, so Lamaisa, you have the Ramah, and the Chor also the Shulchan Aruch, lining up with this full-throated, in Hilchah Shabbos, full-throated embrace of, we always need Ochel Mitoch Psalos, we reject Tosas, and the Rosh and the Torah Lahalach. So what does that mean? So Lamaisa, what are you going to do? Okay, so it has to be... It has to be, we discussed last time, biyad, with a fork and knife, and it has to be lialter. Okay, we discussed last time what lialter is. And you also require, invariably, ochel mitoch psalos. So that is sometimes easier said than done. So let's talk about the lemaisa, what that looks like. So I need ochel mitoch psalos, good. And it doesn't matter about tircha, it doesn't matter about merubah. When it's Shnei mine ochlem, that's what we had read. I think I left that hanging at the end, something to think about last time. So that's a machlokes harishonim. How do you think about Shnei mine ochlem? That was Tosfos. Tosfos says b'feirish and daf ayin daf alaf. You have Shnei mine ochlem. So how do you figure out ochlem top? So let's say if you have Shnei mine ochlem, I have apples and oranges. Or if you think that's small enough, that's considered b'tarovas. Maybe not. But I have cashews and almonds. I have mixed nuts. Oh, you have jelly bellies. And you only... They do taste different. They're all called jelly bellies, but they are... They're not chalukim shame necessarily. I don't know. Okay. Colors? But certainly, they're chalukim b'tam. So we're not even getting to the colors. They taste different. That's probably considered... That's almost definitely considered to be tarovas. So, and I only want the reds, or I only want the cherries, I only want the cotton candy, I only want whatever it is. So Tosfos says, oh, so if you only want the cotton candy, so then those whitish cotton candy ones, those are the ochel, and all the other ones you don't want, those are psolas. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam, that's what the Nosa Kalim pointed out. The Rambam, the Bir Halacha unpacks this. I mean, it's not only the Rush, it's already Tosfos, who said that the Ashkenazim say that we define Ochlem Psalos even by Shnei Mini Ochlem. And the Rambam seems to say, no, as if Shnei Mini Ochlem, then he does, if you read the Rambam Psalos carefully, he says, you have to be Bor Ochlem Mitoch Psalos, or you're Bor one of two Mini Ochlem. So if you read Psalos carefully, it means that if they're both Ochel, now the Rambam thinks that Ochel is defined absolutely. Is this good stuff, or is it Psalos? So this is good stuff. It happens to be. I don't want this good stuff. I want that good stuff. So it is Shnei Minim. So there is Boer. But the Rambam thinks, if I'm picking out the flavor of jelly beans I like from the flavor of jelly beans I don't like, the Rambam would say it doesn't matter what you pick. Just make sure it's Biyad and Lialter. There are only two conditions. Because it's all Ochel. But Bayatos say, no. I'm going to define relative Ochel in that case. Even though they're fundamentally both good, but the ones I don't want, that's called psalos. So Bayatos would say, that's why Paskin, that you have to pick out dafka, the one that you like. If you pick out the one that you don't like, that is going to be a problem. And that's in Siv Gimel. But if I'm shaming the ochlim mi'uravin, you have to take the one that you're gonna. You have to take the one that you're going to eat. You have to take the one that you want. Okay. So good. Now the question is, so how do I pick out the one that I want? See, sometimes it's simple, take the one that you want. But let's say I have the bones and the fish, and I have the pits and the watermelon, so on and so forth. So sometimes you can take the part that you want. Sometimes it's a little more difficult. Post can write that in your mouth is never a borer problem. So if you want to put the watermelon in your mouth and then pull out the pit from your mouth, that post can assume is definitely fine. Put the fish in your mouth, pull the bones from the fish in your mouth, that's definitely fine. Ain lecha derech achila gadol mizu. You might not really want to have bones in your mouth. So I got to figure that out. Another thing you can do is with a fork and knife, you hold on to two and pull the part that you want from the part that you don't want. And that is ochel mitoch psolas. That would be ochel mitoch psolas. Another solution that Post can talk about in various contexts, that Taz and others talk about, that you can also pull, there's a whole discussion about a shaila that's probably not so relevant, Bizman Hazeh, and that's when you find a bug in your drink. I think with our modern sensibilities about hygiene, I think if you find a fly in the drink, I think nowadays, in the 21st century, most people just consider it all psolas and pour it all out. And then you're not being mavchin ben zeh lazeh. But back in the old days, you know, I guess food and drink were more expensive, and maybe people had different sensibilities about hygiene, and you know, life wasn't so clean to begin with. Now, things were never so clean. But whatever it is, so then there was interest in how can I get the bug out of the drink so I can drink the rest of the drink. So if that's what you're choosing to do, then you have to figure out how you're going to do that on Shabbos without violating Bora. So many poskim say, if you just pull out the fly from the drink, some poskim say that's not called Me'urav, it's just flowing on top. And most poskim seem to assume that would be potentially a bor problem. But they say it's a bor problem if you grab the bug and pull it out. If you take a spoonful and spoon out the psolas together with some ochel, that's not bor ochel. That's not called psolas mitoch ochel. Psolas mitoch ochel only is when all you're removing is psolas. But if you're removing psolas and ochel together, if all you're removing is psolas, then it's a problem, even if you're leaving some psolas behind. But if what you're taking is a mixture of psolas and ochel, that's assumed to be fine. A little bit like when you're pulling out all the small pieces or all the big pieces. If what you're taking is both ochel and psolas, so scoop up the bug with a significant amount of liquid also. So again, for us, maybe it won't come up with a bug as much. But if you want to take the tea bag out of your cup, so if you can either just leave the tea bag there and drink your tea, but if you're more mefunak, you're a connoisseur, and you want the tea bag to be there for not less nor more than 4 minutes, it needs to steep just right, and too much maybe, you know, too many tannins will be too bitter. So if you are mefunak in that way, So then the person can say, well, if to just pull the tea bag out, that may be a problem. That may even be with a kli. Maybe. And certainly pulling the tea bag out, that sounds like an ochel issue. You take a spoon and you scoop out the tea bag together with a significant amount of spoonful of tea. So that is mutter. So that's, again, so solution number one is ochel psolas kipshuto. And again, we are machmel like toises against the Rambam. That even when shneimin ochlim, you have to be careful about ochlim topsolos. Or you could do it in your mouth. Solution number two. Or solution number three is to take the psolos but take some ochel as well. Or solution number four. Solution number four Solution number four. Solution number four really doesn't appear in Shin Yud Tes as much. It sort of does. But it appears most explicitly at the end of Simen Shin Chaf Aleph. We had been previously in Simen Shin Chaf Aleph, earlier in the Zman, in the world of Tochein and the world of Lush. But the very end of Shin Chaf Aleph, the very end of Shin Chaf Aleph, the last Ramah, the Ramah on the last Sif, gets tucked away. Shin Chaf Aleph, we focus on the Tochein parts and the Lush parts. Shin Chaf Aleph really is a catch-all simon about various Hilchos Shabbos issues that come up in food preparation that don't have a home elsewhere. So at the end of Shin Chaf Aleph, Sif Yotes in the Ramah, he talks about peeling. You're not allowed to peel onions and garlic kishakolef lehaniyah. This is the end of the Ramah on the last Sif. It's not even the whole Ramah. Asr leklof shum v'vitzal kishakolef lehaniyah, but lechali alteris mutter. Based on a series of Rishon. You can't peel the onions and garlic if you put them aside for later. But if it's the altar, it's mutter. Interesting. Well, that sounds like we're saying, okay, it's a bor issue. So bor lachar zman is aser, bor li altar is mutter. Okay. So we first we say, okay, fine, doesn't seem so surprising. Until the bir halacha, dir masel leklof, bir halacha is very rich, particularly, bir halacha is rich in general, particularly rich over here. And the last piece, dir masel the altar, he has a kiva eger, gets very dramatic. He says, Magen Avraham, kiva eger, says, he can't believe kiva eger said this. Here's his tarot, he says, I can't believe that this lo amin sheyatza zem ipi agonra be kiva eger rak me eza talmud Torah. I can't believe kiva eger said this. Never sure when Achronim say that, whether that's meant literally, or did it literally mean it was probably someone else who wrote the name of Kivager, or is that a polite, euphemistic way of saying, this is not the Kivager I know and love, this is such an uncharacteristic mistake. And I'm not sure whether this is a Derech Kavod way of saying, this is an uncharacteristic mistake of Kivager, when you say Talmud Torah, or you mean literally Talmud Torah, whatever it is. Whatever it is, that's the last piece. But in the previous, second last, the penultimate piece, of Bir Halach and Simeshin Chafaz, you want to leklov. See, he points out, please think about this for a second. He says, I don't understand. He says, you're peeling. He said, peeling, if it's Le'achar Zman, so that's a problem because that's not Le'altar. So I understand. Let's say I'm peeling for Le'altar. But peeling means you're removing the peel. You're removing the psalms from the Ochel. So what does it help that it's Le'altar? But it's a psalm to Ochel. And let's remember, we don't paskin like Tosfos and the Rosh and the Tur, that sometimes we perhaps don't know. We paskin, even Ramah paskins, like the Rambam Messiasa. It's always Ochotop Sola. So, well, what is this? So the Bir Halacha explains what's going on. Bir Halacha explains, David, E. Efshir Be'inyan Acher. We require Ochotop Solas unless the Psolas is totally wrapped around the Ochel. If there's no way to get to the Ochel, the only way to get it out is Psolas of Ochel. If it's a Klipa, so then that is Darach Achila. Normally, Ochotop Solas is Darach Achila, Psolas of Ochel is Darach Breira. But if it's a Klipa, if the Psolas totally surrounds the Ochel from all sides, then that's the equivalent of Ochotop Solas. So what emerges is really four options, four ways to go. Number one, Ochum Tov Psolas, which is relevant. We pass like Tosis, even when it's streaming in Ochum, we still will define the one you don't want as Psolas. Okay, so take the Ochum and Tov Psolas. If need be, as I said, hold on to both and pull on the Ochum. Okay. Option number one. Option number two, get in your mouth and we don't care which one you pick. Okay. Option number three is take Psolas and Ochel together. Option number four, you can remove the Psolas if it's a Klipa. That's this Ramah at the very end of Shin Chaf Aleph. The Ramah in the second half of Shin Chaf Aleph, Se'if Yotes. And then, interestingly, there's discussion in the Nosei Kalim here. Discussion in Nosei Kalim here, and the Shmir Shabbos Lechasa gives you a rich rundown on this. He says that sometimes, he says this whole discussion of Khalifa, that it's mutter, we're going to ignore the psolos versus ochel issue, but we will demand that it be an altar, and presumably be yad as opposed to a kli, or maybe you'll use a knife as a yad arichta. That's only if it's like the examples that the Rama gave. Yeah, you're peeling garlic, you're peeling onions, so no one eats. If you ever peeled an onion, you know that you take off the brown layers. No one eats those brown layers. You peel peel garlic, no one eats those the peel that you're taking off. But let's say I'm peeling an apple. So plenty of people eat apples with the peel. Some people prefer to have it without the peel. Either some people don't like the peel, or for a particular recipe you want to have it peeled. And that's what the Shmir Shabbos points out in my edition Sif Lamed. Or he sends you to the Eglei Tal and to the Mishnah Berurah. That if it's an edible peel, so then you're allowed to take it off even lachar zman. Many assume, not all, but many assume, then you're allowed to take it off even lachar zman, and you're allowed to use even a peeler. So that's machlokes achronim. He quotes in the footnote Ayin Tes that the reason, what happened? I understand that so hochel might be okay. What happened to requiring biyad? What happened to requiring the altar? It says, of course, the Eglei Tal and others, that the apple peel is not called, not only not called psoles, it's batel to the apple. We see that as part of the apple. Remember, it's like minechad. Since it's normally, apples are normally eaten with their peels, that's all the same thing. That we don't even see that as a tarovis to begin with. It's not shnei minim. It's all together, but it's not shnei minim. So that's some achron machmir. Many are mekel for that reason. And this also. So again. So what do we have? We discussed again the condition number three, machlokas rishonim, whether the requirement to fulfill ochel mitoch psoles is also daraisa. The requirement to fulfill biyad, or at least not using kli yuchad, because kind of a tamach is only drabana. But the requirement to avoid nafal kvar, that's a requirement daraisa. The requirement to insist on only li altar, not for lebo bayom, that's a requirement daraisa. The requirement to insist on ochel mitoch psoles, that Rambam things are also daraisa. The Torah things is drabana, and then we suggested that's why they therefore. Tosfos Machlokas, the Rambam and the other Svaradim, versus Tosfos Rosh and Tur, whether it's the requirement is always Ochon Tov Solas, or it depends on the Sugya and Beitza. Is the Sugya and Beitza relevant even to Hilchos Shabbos? We pass on like the Rambam. That Shulchan Aruch Sivdal pass on like the Rambam, that Ochon Tov Solas is a Din D'Oraisa. Psof Tov Ochon is going to be Chayef. And the Ramah, therefore, consistently, rather than disagreeing and following the Baal Yatosfos, Rama agrees with the Svaradim and the Shulchan Aruch and says, therefore, we always want Ochel to Tolos. We don't care whether it's Ochel Meruba, Ochel Muatas. We don't care about Tircha. Okay. Halacha Lamaisa, that's true. We want Ochel to Tolos. And we follow the other Tosfos. We do follow the other Tosfos Halacha. That even by Shnei Ochlin, we're going to define which one's Ochel to Tolos, and we're going to insist on Ochel to Tolos. If it's going to be the alternative to Ochel Psolos are number one Bisoch Piv, that's one way to not have to pick out Ochel. One way to pick up Psolos is Bisoch Piv. Another way to pick up Psolos is to take Ochel with it. A third way, when it's a situation where you're not picking up Psolos, is if it's a Klipa. If it's a Klipa. And again, the Shmir Shabbos Lechasa quotes from the Eglei Tal and other Achronim, who believe that and that if it's an edible klipa, then we don't have to worry about boer whatsoever. We don't have to worry about boer whatsoever. And that already gets us thinking about what we're going to pick up with the Mitzvah next time, which is a sugya of melilos. This idea of differentiating lahalacha between edible peels versus non-edible peels. See, here we're talking about the issue of borer. But Rashi suggests that, at least in some of the mol and melilos, we are trying to pull a nut or a bean or something out of its shell. I have a peanut in a shell. I have pistachios in shells. I have a garinim, which used to mean seeds, but in modern Hebrew means specifically those roasted sunflower seeds in their shell. The kitnyos bitarmi lehen. So that's the sugya mol and melilos, which Mishnah will focus on b'li neder next week. So there already it's not only a borer issue, also potentially a dush issue. And there too, we differentiate between edible, what cases where the part that surrounds is really edible as well, versus cases where it's not edible. So that's a source for the kula of the egetal and others, that peeling, apple peels, is the heter gamur. You could do it even hours before, you could do it with the peeler again. And then he quotes others, the Mishnah Berurah sounds like he is worried about the apples. He's worried about the apples, got to figure out what type of apples, what type of peels. But it could be there are those who are mad. But again, those are the four ways to deal with ochot psalos, either ochot psalos, okay, or b'toch piv, or with taking psalos with some ochel, or if it's a klipa, it's mutter. B'li neder next week, we'll talk about some more about the dash issues with mol and melilos and so forth. And b'li neder, we will also talk about filtering liquids.